Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of Private Parts. Still here with Abby Clark.
That sounds so happy.
Yeah, I just
that sounds like we are locked in a room. Like we are.
Yeah, I was trying to make it very
252.
If you're still awake, yeah.
I was trying to make it soothing for everyone because you know it's.
You failed.
No, it was not. I can do a very.
I feel unsoothed.
Anyway, no, listen, Kate.
I don't think you like me.
Okay, wait, Abby, close your eyes. Close your eyes. This is going to soothe you, right? So here we go.
I don't like when someone's
close your eyes. Shut them.
Yeah. Is it bold or bald?
Bold.
Bold.
You don't say bold.
Bold.
I'm bold.
You don't say
that's bold. That's a washing detergent.
Because there's got to be some difference between like being bold.
Yeah,
and
bold.
Being bold.
It's bald. Bald.
Bald.
Bald.
I don't have to say it.
No, because you would say that was very
it's
bold.
Not a problem.
Of you. You would say that's very bold of you. You wouldn't say that.
Yeah. As in like because he's
bald. Yeah.
No, you wouldn't say that.
Bold.
I say bald.
It's not a word anymore.
I know,
like bald.
Hey, listen, I do want to talk about anxiety and things like that. Just because I think it's a really important subject. And it's been Men's Health Week and Men's Mental Health. And we spoke about lots of things. And Private Parts, we talk about lots. I think social media is a really tricky area. And I think it definitely does drive... You know, I did a reality show for 10 years, right? Mm. And my sort of mental health definitely became funky because of that, because I became so anxious, like so anxious. But I the way I sort of got through it was I just drank through it. So I would just drink, which is a really bad way to...
Yeah, I did it in lockdown though, so I couldn't even like go out.
Yeah.
I was just trapped in my kitchen like...
but where do you... with the anxiety, had you had anxiety before? Or did it just start?
No, so I've always been pretty lucky with my mental health, I'd say. Well, to be fair, a lot of things now make sense. Yeah. I'm like, oh that's why everybody hated me. Oh, I've got OCD. That's why no one else cared about someone turning over their left shoulder in a play, and I did.
I had the same thing. I remember whenever I used to go to the bathroom. When I was a kid, and there was a perm above the loo.
Sorry, what bathrooms are you going
to? No, at home, and I used to, in the middle of the night, I'd take a pee. And there's a poem that was, please remember, don't forget, never leave. And I'd have to say the whole poem before I could go back to bed every single time. And then I told someone this, and I said, don't you do that? And they went, no. And I went, well, that's obviously weird.
When you brought up in the Victorian, I had to say a poem before I could go.
No, it was OCD.
I had to do a prayer.
I did have to do a prayer at night as well.
Oh, I thought you meant before we go to the toilet. Please let this go well.
You had to do a prayer at Radley to stop the bigger boys coming in your room. Didn't you? Please, Lord, not tonight.
I had a friend, a guy I lived with it at university. He was a pretty weird guy, actually. I lived with him for a term.
I hope he's not listening.
Shout out to your mate.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in years. I honestly haven't seen him in years. I could tell you a story about this guy, but it's almost too horrible to... All right, I'm going to tell you. this is no word of a lie, all right? This guy, we're at university, and we were all living together, and we had this one... This guy, he said... We were talking about it one night. He said, oh, he did acid once, right? And to anyone listening, do not take drugs.
Wait, but how old were you?
I was 20. This guy had done... This guy,
you're going to be like 12?
No, it was at university, and this guy... I didn't know this guy, but he just ended up living with us. And he had done acid before, and he said he... Every single time now he went to the loo to take a pee, he would see Mr. Bean looking back at him. What? And when he was drunk, he would become shy because there was Rowan Atkinson looking at him. And I said, what did he say? And he went, oh, just do Mr. Bean.
He doesn't talk.
He doesn't talk, just looking back at him. I was like, this kid's weird. Anyway, so that happened. He then was sitting one night, and I kid you not, we're sitting, a couple of my friends, and this guy, we're talking about stuff, and this guy said, oh, I'll put anything in my mouth for money. And I went...
He went, yeah.
Finally! Yeah. I've finally used my virginity.
I've got loads of money and I've got something I want to put in your mouth. So. Yeah. Finally, uni's paying off.
A
willy garage. Just going to park this
Is that
in
what
here.
You can't
call someone's mouth.
You said minge earlier.
Someone's mouth is a willy garage.
Just going to back this
just
up
park
a
bit. It here.
Boop, boop. Why is it going backwards?
I don't know.
Do you mind if I park my willy in your garage? Yeah, he was talking about. Alex was talking about minges earlier. That was all a bit weird.
Your vocabulary.
Way
is
too
just,
early on in meeting someone to talk
the apple.
About.
It's
kind of creepy.
Talking about someone's mouth as a willy garage.
Just going to pop down to the garage.
Can I use your minge and willy garage?
Willy garage.
I love it. I'm using it.
Please. Next TikTok.
It's got an automatic door. Is
it? Yeah. Can I use your minge and willy garage?
Yeah. So you like rent, your house doesn't have one, so you have to rent out another space.
Those are like mechanical sounds.
I didn't cheat. I only used a willy garage.
Like, I had nowhere to park. The road was so busy.
Imagine if their mouth opened as slowly as a garage, though. That'd be really... Just made the eye contact,
For Jamie, it does. They're like, don't think I should be doing this.
A willy garage. Honestly, that is so good.
If I get a t-shirt that says, I love willy garage.
I'll get one saying, I am willy garage.
God. Want free parking? Somewhere to leave your car overnight?
Double garage, single garage.
Your sales, your saleswoman. Double garage, single garage.
Multi-story
family
car
garage.
Park.
I'll be getting a t-shirt saying, I am a willy garage.
If you get one and you wear it, I'll obviously love you.
I'd get too many DMs.
I am a willy garage.
I'll do it. I have a friend who embroiders t-shirts. I'll do it.
Please have me do it.
Sorry, embroiders. Imagine sitting there and embroidering. Yeah. Right, what's the saying? Willy garage.
Oh, God. I am a willy garage.
Imagine crying.
I think I just got a catchphrase.
Don't steal content.
It's also really hot in here from the lights. It's so boiling. So, anyway, as I was saying, so this guy, right? This is this guy.
Gosh, we were.
Guy, literally, no idea what you're talking about.
Can it talk willy garage?
He said, I'll put anything in my willy garage for money.
Oh, that was it. So he said, he'll put anything in his mouth for money.
Yeah. And I said, no,
he
you.
Started revving up the engine.
And I said.
What did you say, Jamie?
I said, no, you wouldn't. I went, no, you wouldn't. And he said, yes, I would. I said, no, you wouldn't.
He
said,
one.
He said, name something. I went, okay, you wouldn't put shit in your mouth for money.
Oh, God, you horrible man.
And he said, well, how much are you paying me? And I went, I don't know, 20 quid. And he said, all right. And I
for
went,
20 quid?
20 quid. And so I was like, they can't believe this is happening at university. So my friend pooed onto a plate.
It's very civilised.
Yeah. He pooed onto a plate And then the only way I can tell, you know,
did
when
he heat the plate in the oven?
Did he light a candle?
Did he heat the plate in the oven? Yeah.
Oh, toasty. Sell some canapes.
So this guy was like, so my friend then pooed onto a plate. And the only way I can describe it is that he went to, you know, when you go to McDonald's, you get those little ketchup pots. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he
that was making me feel a bit sick.
Yeah, yeah. It was horrible. He found one of those little pots and then put a bit of poo in it and gave it to this guy, and we were all watching him, and he ate it.
Oh.
And
he didn't even just put it in his mouth.
He put it in his mouth and swallowed it.
It's like the worst I'm a celebrity.
That was not part of the dare.
And he swallowed it. And then I was like, oh my God. And then he retched. And I went, oh my God. And yeah. And I said, what happened? He said, it wasn't that bad swallowing it, but when he burped, it smelled like shit.
Mate, oh, that's making me feel really ill.
Horrendous. Can that, like, kill you?
Yeah, I think you made me go blind.
Isn't that what killed him?
That documentary about me being sewed together.
Well, that porno.
They had to eat each other's poo.
Yeah, but I think
it was
because I'm pretty sure the one at the end died first because it was getting the poop off the room.
Surely it would be cleaner poop because it's gone through the recycling facility.
No, because I guess because it's more. Wouldn't it be more toxic because it's like someone's pooped someone else's poop?
Oh God, that is just too funny. So anyway, I don't know how I got onto that. How did
I don't either. You were talking about a guy who was weird.
Oh yeah, this guy.
So anyway, the poop muncher.
Anyway, it was just, the whole thing was pretty weird. Anyway.
I think we're talking about anxiety.
It's actually relieved my anxiety. Thank God I'm not that weird.
Anyway, going back to anxiety, which we were talking about. I do think, though, that social media drives that. And I think that, you know, we look at the statistics, right, especially during lockdown, how mental health has risen. And it's massively risen. And it's a really upsetting kind of thing. And it's almost like a lava going through, like, towns and villages across the UK.
Give him the apple. That was a beautiful metaphor.
That was absolutely unbelievable. Give him the apple,
Can we move this dark coke? I don't think it's good for the...
Yeah, move it away. But I also think that it is this kind of lava going through. And I definitely think a lot of it is down to social media. I think it is. And Abby,
you're saying is the volcano of social media needs to stop.
Well, I think so, but why do you think you feel anxious because of social media?
I don't know. I think it is the pressure of it. I think it's that you have to be on it all the time.
It's always a bit like a drug, isn't it? It's like you get that dopamine hit, and then when you don't have it, you're not getting that validation. You're like, oh shit, I need to post. So that people still like me.
I don't know. I think I could quite easily not post. Mm. But like I was saying to you, for me now, because it's given me this incredible opportunity, like just facts, I wouldn't be like here if I hadn't had the year.
Yeah, we only get big celebrities.
Yeah. I mean, can't wait to sign the board. but it's true. Like no one would know who I was. So I feel like I have to keep it going to keep my career going, really, is how I feel. And I was saying to you, like, every post is like a bit of portfolio. No, it's not. But it's just like if a TV producer went on my page, I feel like every post has to be like this standard.
Top
and I think, and also like for a sketch anyway, when you post something on the internet, it's final. Like it's out there. That's that. And I think that terrifies me because I'm like, I never get to do this sketch again. So in my mind, I'm like, I have to make it the best it can possibly be. Otherwise, what's the point of doing it? Whereas with stand-up, you get to like just go on, try a...
I'm still laughing about Willy Garrett. I can't get out of my head. I'm laughing in my head about it.
So when I'm talking through my Willy Garrett on stage...
talking through your Willy Garrett?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a talent.
Modern Garrett.
No wonder you get booked.
Continue. Yeah, sorry.
Well, no, it's just that you can like tell a joke and then be like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to add this bit next time. Like, you do the same jokes for, like, a year, and you can continue to, like, improve them and edit them and add tags and take bits out, and that's really...
Jamie couldn't, because his career lost it three shows.
Damn it,
I can't do that. But, yeah, whereas, like, internet, I think everything you post is so final, and it is so... And the bigger you get, the more people have something to say or comment or judge or... you know, try and cancel people it's quite a terrifying, very final world, but also wants really quick turnover. I think that's my stress, is that they want quick content all the time, but they also want it to be that standard. And
That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
But also, I think that the tricky thing is you know, as we're seeing with this whole cancel culture at the moment, is that people who have been posting stuff back in the day that hasn't dated now, right? That stuff. So you now have to be careful about what you're posting now, because you're thinking that, okay, what's the future going to hold for us? So is stuff going to be okay? Is it going to age well? All these different things, and that's even more pressure. But I think with you, Abby, I think with comedians, right? Comedians, there's always that thing, you know, with Mickey Flanagan. He did his joke, out, out. You know, when he went, but he did that, and that like blew him up, right?
Yeah.
That made him sort of very famous. And I think comedians in general, you need that kind of like moment that sort of makes you oh my god, we like this person now because they're very funny and stuff like that. And I think for you, it was your social media that has done that for you. But I think now you're sort of seen, I would say, as an established comedian, and so people now book you because you're a comedian, not because you're a social media star.
I don't know. I think for me personally, I think what has made me, I don't know, to like agents or producers or whatever, be like, oh, this person's interesting, is that I have the stand up, but I also have the social media, because I think a lot of stand up comedians don't really do social media, which I was kind of like, why not? And now I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, this is why.
But I think it's kind of because it is like, when you've got a comedy page as well, there's this pressure to be funny all the time. Everything I post, I feel like, has to make at least one person laugh. Whereas, like, I remember watching Jo Brandt and her being like, oh, I'm only funny on stage. And you're like, yeah, you do need an off time where you can just be, like, dull as hell. And just... whereas if you're on social media, you have to be, like, funny on stage and then also constantly on your phone. But it is, like, I think that's what makes me... I think that's why an agent want to take me on, because they're like, oh, because she's a social media person. So I feel like if I stop the social media, it's like, oh, well, she's just like all other comedians now. I might hurt myself.
It's probably one of those things, you'll probably work out a balance as you like.
Yeah, definitely. Progress. I think that's the thing. Like, only recently has stand-up come back and I'm suddenly doing both at the same time. But I think it will. And I think it will change when I do become more known for stand-up. And then my social media is just a nice thing that goes along, like you can follow my life along.
I totally understand what you mean. So going back to, you know, having done this reality show for so long, which is basically...
What show was that?
It's Made in Chelsea. Oh, you were on it, weren't you?
No.
Oh, I don't think so. Anyway.
Don't remember.
Yeah, don't remember that. But there was no off switch for me. So I then... Because I was definitely who I was on the show, but it was a more heightened version, right? So And so then what happened...
You went from a dick to a massive...
Oh, I'm stuck in a tunnel of lies, Miss and Binky. Anyway,
did you have though, but like producers forcing you to be like meaner than you wanted to, or anything?
Not in Jay's case. He was just a real asshole.
No, but what happened was is that you do a show, and you know that if you are going to, in order to be sort of the top person, right, you have to break up, you have to argue, you have to create drama and do drama. So you make the choice in your head whether you want to do that or not, right? But the problem is that also we film like 150 days a year or something crazy like that. So 150 days a year you're filming this TV show, which is about arguing, fighting and all those different things. And so you then almost, it's a heightened version of yourself, but then what you do is you don't realize or you forget how to behave in normal situations, because you feel like you have to go into every single room and entertain someone.
I just love people with the couch.
If anyone talks for an extended period of time, I just start drifting and I'm like, can't wait to get back in the garage later.
It's everyone at a different moment.
I know. It was cracking me up so much when you were talking about anxiety and I was trying not to laugh about Willie Garage.
Okay,
imagine
good,
you're a
I'm
therapist
good.
And you're just like mid session.
I just can't believe no one has ever thought up Willie Garage.
I'm sure they have somewhere. Someone's said it.
So good. Willie Garage. I am a Willie Garage. The whole point was is that I found it very difficult to be normal.
Stop it. It's like being in class when you're not supposed to laugh.
I can't help it. But it did. I found it very difficult. I can't even get this up. I found it very difficult to be normal in everyday life because I...
You just want to please everyone.
That was it. And that's I had to be funny in every situation. That's actually what used to happen.
Yeah. It's tiring. Yeah. It's tiring to be like that, though. I can't do it.
Then also, like, I sometimes get DMs when they're like, oh my god, you're so happy all of the time. And it's
you're
like,
really?
But it's like, no one's happy all of the time. And I don't want them to believe that either. But also, no one wants to see a story of me being like, great. Yeah. Shit day to day.
You could adopt that as part of your stand-up. You have to have your miserable time as well.
Yeah.
Just really
and now
grumpy.
5 minutes of misery. Yeah.
But I think what happened, because I can ask, how old are you? Is that...
Just turned 25.
You're 25, so you're in the most unpatronised way. You're a baby, right? You're so young, and so
thank you, because I felt 25 suddenly made me no longer new and interesting.
Oh my god, no, 25. I would say that's very young, and especially as a comedian, I think that's extremely young.
It is. I think it is young for a comedian. I think loads of comedians get really big in their like 30s because it's that like real hot spot of being able to relate to older people. Yeah. Because you've started to have, like, I don't know, marrying someone or those kind of experiences, but you can still relate to younger people, which was my issue when I was going. I couldn't relate to older people because I'm not married, I don't have kids, I didn't have a long-term job, I still worked in a cafe. Like, so there wasn't as much relation, whereas I think you hit a sweet spot. So there aren't many comedians that are in their 20s.
I imagine that'll probably change because, like, more people will come, like, through social media to become comedians, and social media is quite a young...
Thing. Yeah, well, yeah, but yeah, you don't get many. Like, I think Bo Burnham was kind of like the guy who did that.
I know what you mean, but I think you're so right with that. With the comedy circuit, is that a lot of people, because you're perceived as young, people don't know if you have the same humour. So your humour has to be a certain. You're relating to a certain audience.
Yeah,
and a typical sort of typical audience who go to watch comedy is it's an older audience.
Comedy club, like young people don't go watch live comedy really. Like I'd say some of the like if you're like. In a city, so I'd say like London gigs and like in Bristol gigs, especially like the new material cheap nights, that you get kind of younger, but like comedy club audiences are much older. They're in like 40s and above, and so I was having to write. I felt like all I could write about was sex because I was like, that is the only thing everyone here that we've all like experienced, and it wasn't really the material I wanted to be writing about, but I had to write it. Just like to
really,
see the
you
audience.
Felt forced into doing it almost.
Well, yeah, because like
forced
when I
forced into talking about sex. Yeah. This comedy really sounds a bit dodgy.
Well, no, like obviously I talked about it in my own way, and it was never like oh yeah, sex. It was like
because as British people, we are like that.
Yeah.
Why are we like that? As British people, we typically we are a bit like oh god, you know, we're quite strange with sex. We're almost timid around it.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that happens.
Well, we're just awkward people, aren't we? Quite a lot of comedians, I think that's the thing, is they talk openly about sex and people like are like, yay, because I can't say this.
Yeah.
But then also, like, there's a stereotype that women do just talk about, like, their fannies and whatever. And I didn't want to be that comedian, but it kind of was, as a young person in a comedy club, one of the only things I could say to 50-year-olds, and they'd be like, ha-ha, yeah.
We know those.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't do my material on The Sims and Twilight, because they were like, what? Like...
I would love you to you start with The Sims and Twilight, like dead room. You're like, anyway, so my fanny.
I was like, fine, tits. So that's the thing is, like, I was hoping social media would bring young people to my gigs. That's what like I wanted to do. And I think that's what promoters want as well when they put me on a bill. They're like, oh, that might bring young people in. But I think, yeah, they just watch stuff on YouTube and TikTok and they don't really go to live comedy.
Do you think that it makes the jump? Because sometimes I find, you know, there's a lot of people out there, take podcasts for example, there's a lot of people who we've had, you know, people on the podcast who have huge social media followings, and it doesn't transcend sometimes. People don't jump over to listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
And you know, people, you know, I was on TV doing Main Chelsea and I started a YouTube channel and not a lot of people watched that YouTube channel, and I posted a video every single day for 4 years, and it was quite, so things don't jump across. Do you think with your audience, there's an appetite for them to see you live?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. But I you're not sure, because obviously it's a lot less effort to watch a video than actually, like, turn up to a gig. But, like, I do get messages being like, tell us when your gigs are, when are you gigging, like, we want to know. Who knows if they'd actually come. At the moment, I'm not really telling people, because I want to...
Are you not?
I want to... Yeah, I don't know. Like, you must have had this when you...
It's going to be quite hard to sell tickets.
Well, no, like, at the moment, I just... Because I'd only been going, really, like, a year and a few months before lockdown doing stand-up. So I'm still, like, a new
Can I just
stand-up.
Ask, why did you decide to do stand-up? Because that's a big thing to go into.
I don't know. I just kind of always had, like, a little itch for it. But, like, I never... wanted to tell anyone I thought I was funny, so I put it off forever. And then I just saw a friend doing like a comedy course, and I was like, huh, what was that? And so I did that, and that was like a way to like creep into it. And then
how does a comedy course go?
I don't like. I wouldn't say you like
repeat
learn.
Repeat after me. My fanny.
Yeah. Like, here's dick joke 1, 2, and 3, and you're
but,
good to go.
But it's funny because Ivo Graham, who is a very funny comedian, and a friend of mine, he had the same thing where I think similar to you, where he would be watching TV shows, and he would say they would say something, and he would respond and say, "Oh, this is going to be a funny joke here," and then almost the people in the show would say the similar joke to him, and he'd be like, well, this is what I keep sort of doing. And so then from there, he didn't tell anyone that he was... So when he started doing stand-up, people were like, what, you're doing stand-up? And it's almost like people... It's like imposter syndrome almost at the beginning, where you think, well, this can be... I think I can be pretty funny.
It's the pressure. As soon as you tell someone you're a comedian, they're like, tell us a joke then. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I'm more of like an observational... let me give you an essay. But yeah, like I noticed actually, like once I started stand-up, I was like, oh, hang on. Because like for years... I'd just have like an inner personal monologue where I'd be like, I'm basically doing stand-up in my head to myself, and I never really realised I was doing that until I started doing stand-up, and I was like, I observe things, and that was another moment I realised there was mental health issues, isn't it? But yeah, like I think you do realise, it was just always something I kind of wanted to try, but it took me ages to actually admit to anyone I wanted to try it.
Yeah, but I think that happens
and
in a lot of people.
You've just admitted live on Private Parts Podcast.
I am
a comedian.
Sometimes funny.
But I think that's a good thing. But also, I still think that maybe this is, God, it's a dodgy road to go down, but I think being a woman and doing stand-up at a young age, I think that's tricky. I think it is a really sort of tricky environment to go into.
Well, and also, like, yeah, it's a very male-dominated environment, which was weird for me because I came from, like, drama, doing, like, drama at uni where everyone is a white brunette girl. literally everyone. And suddenly I was like, oh, there's only one of me. Like, but even, like, it's like some of the women who did comedy, like, they were very... not.
You did drama, didn't you?
Yeah, I did drama.
Did you? There
the
we
only,
go.
Only blonde in class.
Yeah, I was...
the only guy.
I was pretty much the only guy.
The only bald guy.
There was 80 people in my year, and two of them were guys, me and this other guy. The other guy was gay, and I was very on the edge, being very metro. And they were like, is he? The rest were girls.
So, like, it was, like, a complete swap for what I'm used to. And even, some of the female comedians I met, I felt were really like edgy or like cool. And I said, I'm basic bitch. And like, there just weren't many basic bitches at a comedy club. But I also actually kind of loved that. It was quite nice to be like, oh, well, I'm going to bring this to the bill. Yeah, it was quite nice to be one for once.
And listen, and also I congratulate you. You know, if no one's seen your TikTok or seen your social media, go and check it out, because you honestly are, you're so funny. And I watched Dating No Filter with you on that, and you were genius on that. Are you going to be doing any touring or anything like? You can't tell us, or
I don't think. I genuinely do just want to get more practice in. Basically, I want to like go out and just do clubs and hone it and write more. Because I was quite new, and that's why I'm kind of keeping it like I just want to have like a bit more practice. Because you must find it hard to start with a profile. Because you can't have that anonymous...
You found it really hard.
Like...
Well, actually, it's a bit more forgiving.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's more forgiving because...
Maybe I should invite people then.
No, it's because they go like, oh, it's cute.
Yeah, I think that's what they do. But also, so when I did the comedy stuff, they were more forgiving because I'm not known as a comedian. So they're not like you said, make this funny. You got to make us laugh. It's more like, oh, there's that guy that we've seen on TV and he's trying stand-up. Oh, go on, give it a go. Yeah, just like
bless
that.
Him.
Until you start talking about class jokes, which I did, and that was not good at all. My God, it was awful.
Wrong crowd.
Oh, the whole thing was awful. It was really
lob your Rolex into the audience. I'm out of here.
It was awful, the whole thing. Honestly, Abby, I think you are hilarious. I think it's a great thing that, you know, people always say doing comedy takes 10 years to master. So I think the more practice you do is great. But honestly, to all you lovely...
Is that a pep talk?
Yeah, it's a little pep talk.
No, but it is. Like, people go for years and years and they really hone it on circuit before they do, like, their Edinburgh debut hour and stuff like that. And you don't want to waste your debut hour. Like, you don't want people to... I don't want to be that like YouTuber who's like, yeah, I can do a solo show, and then people turn up and they don't come back. I want a long term audience's returning, and so Yeah, I'm hiding for a little bit, and then I'll be like, I'm ready now.
Yeah, Russell Kane always says the same thing. He says he gets questions asked, how do I get into the comedy circuit? And he always says, okay, here you go. It's a very simple technique. You have to, for the first 3 years, you have to go unpaid, so you have to keep your job, and you have to do gigging every single night that you can get a show. You have to tell your friends that you're not going to see them for a few years because you're just going to be gigging all the time. After 3 years, you could, or 4 years, you can start making about 200 quid a week. Once you make 200 quid a week, you can then start doing longer shows. After 5 more years of doing that, you can probably then call yourself a comedian.
Yeah.
Like he says, yeah, that is it.
I say most people I know, are like 5 years in when they start looking at getting on telly or anything like that. And that's like quite early as well. So I'm really lucky that I've kind of had a kind of fast forward, what's the word? I don't know.
Your springboard.
Yeah,
springboard.
Which is why also I'm a comedian in my 20s, because usually it takes people their entire 20s to get there.
Absolutely. Hey, Abby, listen, we don't want to take too much of your time. Go and follow Abby on social media, on TikTok, on Instagram, Abby Clark. It is so funny. It is so good. You're so natural and just warm and amazing. And honestly, you've made me laugh with Willy Garage more than anything in the world. Thank you so much for coming on. What we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Oh no.
Oh God.
Not what? From you, Mitt.
No, I was feeling her anxiety.
Okay, here we go. You ready for this?
Yeah, I can't wait.
I'd say, all right, just go for it.
Sick.
I was saying about it, is that don't wait for permission, don't wait for someone else to give you the chat. Like, if you've got something you want to make, make it. That's what I'd say.
There we go. Abby Clark, thank you so much. Everybody, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Bye.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.